Now we have here in the first two chapters, we have first Hannah's prayer and answer, and the birth of Samuel. Now I shall begin reading here, and this is quite a lesson in pronunciation here, but I'll try to get through this first verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. Now we start off on the wrong foot. And I know that there'll be people saying, oh, this means God approves of this. No, my friend, if you read this record aright, you'll find out God didn't approve of it. The fact that certain things are recorded in Scripture does not mean God approves of them, or sometimes actually God does not disapprove. He merely has given you the facts concerning history and persons and events. And so you find that the lie of Satan is recorded in Scripture, but that doesn't mean God approves it. In fact, God very definitely disapproved of it. And you find the sin of man, sin of Adam, sin of Abraham, and the sin of others. God didn't approve of Abraham. You will recall taking that maid Hagar, and God showed his disapproval. Fact of the matter is, the sin of Abraham, the fruits of it are still in existence. You see, that boy Ishmael is the father of the Arabian, and a very fine Arab guide who took me to the city of Jericho. He told me, he says, Dr. McGee, you forget that we Arabs are also the sons of Abraham. And you know that he was right about that. God didn't approve of that. Look what's happening today and has happened in that land. God does not approve. Now, because Elkanah had two wives doesn't mean God approves it. Fact of the matter, they were having trouble in the family, real trouble, which is evident that God wasn't blessing at this particular time at all. Now he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. My friend, that's going to cause a problem in the families, you can see. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And that disturbed me for a long time. Why in the world did Samuel have to tell us that the sons of Eli were there at the tabernacle? And later on we'll find out. And the reason is this. Going up to worship God at the tabernacle wasn't all that you might suppose that it might be. Actually, it was a dangerous place to be because these sons of Eli, they were sons of Belial. Well, they were the sons of the devil, if you please. It wasn't a very nice atmosphere to go into. I believe that sometimes that the worst place you can be is in church, and probably the most dangerous place for you. I hear people say about the upper room, oh, if I could only been up in the upper room, how wonderful that would have been, would it? Do you know who was in that upper room? He wasn't invited, but he was there. We're told that the devil, Satan, had entered into this man Judas. Satan was there in the upper room. That was the most dangerous place in Jerusalem at that time to be. And so going up to worship God had its problems, had its difficulties in that day, and there was evil present there. And it's interesting that this is mentioned at this particular juncture. Now we are told, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, which means he gave to her moah, than he actually gave to the other one and all of her children. Why? For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore. Who was her adversary? The other wife. You see, they weren't on speaking terms. That wasn't a very pleasant home. Who told you that God approved of this sort of thing? I think God disapproved of it. They're having trouble. They're having family trouble. And there wasn't any counselor to go to at that time. Now notice, her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And probably Hannah was one of the most miserable persons in the world at this time. But you know that she goes now to God in prayer. And as, verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Now you know what she prayed for. She prayed for a son. Will you listen to her? She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, she would make him a Nazarite unto God, separated unto the service of God. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Eli was the high priest, and he saw this woman come up and pray, and he watched her mouth as it moved, and apparently he couldn't read her lips. And when she cried out like this, notice the reaction of Eli. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And what a sidelight that is upon the conditions of that day. Going to find out these sons of Eli, they drank and caroused there. And old Eli, their father, knew it and shut his eyes to it, you know. He was an indulgent father. And when this woman, Hannah, came and prayed like this with the zeal of her heart, old Eli thought she is drunk. You know why? Because there'd been others there that were drunken. This wasn't really the best place to come and to be in that day, my friend. Now will you notice? And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, now listen to her. No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You don't see much praying like Hannah's today, do you, that people might mistake you being drunk the way you pray. Our prayers are very dignified. Now will you notice, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered. Now Eli sees his mistake. And he said, go in peace. God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. That's what Samuel means, ask of the Lord. Now this book of 1 Samuel, you see, opens with the cry of a godly woman. While the people are crying for a king, Hannah is crying out for a child, and God builds the throne on a woman's cry. You see, when a woman takes her exalted place, God builds her a throne. And what a contrast, friends, that is to this day. Right now, and for the past few months, we've heard nothing in the world on news but abortion, abortion, and abortion. Now, I'm not going into that problem. I don't feel like that's really my prerogative. But what a contrast this is. Women today not wanting children, wanting to sin but not pay the consequences for their sin. And my position in this is simply this, that when a person sins, they are to bear the fruit of their sin, and if a child is to be born, that child should be born, and that should be the responsibility of the one who sinned and brought him into the world. My people today are trying to get away from the fruit of their sin, but you can understand one thing. God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're living in the day of abortion. Hannah lived in a day when she wanted a son, and she dedicated that son unto the Lord. And on her cry, God built a kingdom. What a tremendous tribute, and what a wonderful monument this is to this woman's cry. Now we find that she went up to the Lord and took her offering, and she remembered her vow that she had made. And in verse 24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. May I say to you, she kept her vow to God. She said, I have promised to bring this little one to the Lord, and here he is.